by ordination. I think this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our sight. We ask, Father, that you would open our ears, our hearts for understanding, our eyes to perceive, and then the wisdom to be able to carry this out into our everyday lives, that it will just not be a word on a page, but it'll be a word in our hearts. And by your Spirit, we know that you can more than do this, Lord, because you've done it before, and we ask you to do it again. Bless our brother Doug. Release grace. Bless everyone that's struggling maybe this morning, and give them the grace to get here if they're still running a little bit late. We give you praise in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So, my friend.
Amen.
Amen.
It is good to be back. That old Kim Wild Horses could not heat. Email me, are you still coming? Wild horses could not keep me away. So,
high-priced plane tickets, huh?
Nah, that couldn't even keep me away.
I couldn't believe it when I heard that.
Oh, yeah. So it's all good. I'm actually going to pick up just right where we left off last time. Because last time I was talking about abandonment, and we were on... looking at the lives of Peter, Paul, and Mary, and I realized we never got to Mary.
Yeah.
So Peter, Paul, and Mary. Oh my gosh, the glory has arrived. We can.
Wonders will never cease.
Yes. Amen. So go to Luke chapter 1. Hello, good to see you.
Oh, it's good to see you.
Just make a sacrifice.
I did.
No, two of them today.
Okay, so Luke chapter 1. Says, the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Probably the first thing that I notice here is that Mary abandoned her limitations. And see, that's an important lesson for all of us, is if we have limitations on God, on what we think he can do, on, you know, any kind of limitations, they really need to be abandoned. Because she says, Luke 1:34, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And then you go to verse 38, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. And see, what we have here is a beautiful picture of natural limitations being totally broken off. Because she says, how can this be? Now, remember, this is a different situation from, remember, like if you back up a chapter or so, and the angel had gone to the local pastor of the local church. His name was Zacharias, and had said something along the same lines, you shall conceive and bear a son, your wife will blah, blah, blah. And see, his questioning was a questioning of doubt, because he's been listening to the voices of fear, the voices of all this stuff, and he has basically, God has to shut his trap, make him so he can't talk, so he didn't mess things up. So when she asked this question, it's a very different heart issue than when he asked the same question. Because he says, how can this be? I'm old and my wife's old and, you know, we got separate bedrooms and all that kind of stuff. How's this going to work, you know? So that was humor, by the way. So at any rate.
Could you please look forward?
The breaking.
Neither to the right or to the left.
the breaking of natural limitations. So when she says, she asks that question, it's just an honest question.
Amen.
It's not a doubt-filled question because God didn't have to strike her dumb so she couldn't talk. You know, so she has given up her limitations, and it's like this. And I know I've used the illustration before, but I'm going to use it again because it's such a good one. You know, is it live or is it?
Yeah.
Memorex. Now, in this crowd, I can use that illustration. Everybody understands. You know, when I do that at home with all of our young people in church, is it live or is it? And they all look at me with this dumb stare like, what? Because they don't know what a tape was,
that's
you know.
Right. That's
they have no about. Idea, you know. I mean, CDs are even old hat. Now it's, you know, it's all... whatever, MP3s and this and that and iTunes and all that stuff. But you remember the commercial was the singer found the natural, the, you know, everything resonates.
Right.
Everything is resonating. So the singer finds the natural tone of the glass, sings that same tone back, that same frequency back to the glass. What it does is it raises the amplitude of the wave, and when you raise the amplitude of the wave beyond what the limitation of the glass, the natural limitation of the glass, what it is, it causes basically a sonic impact, and the glass will break. And that's exactly what Mary did, is she joined her voice
yeah.
with the voice of the Lord, where he said, you shall conceive and bear a son. And when she says, be it done unto me according to your word, that sent a spiritual sound wave that basically broke through any kind of natural limitations. Now, you're going to hear this story for the next 3 days, so you might as well just get used to it because I'm so excited about it. I'm just cranked to the max. So I'm just going to start with it, and probably every illustration I use is going to have part of this story in it, because we have just come through a tremendous time of breaking natural limitations. I was scheduled to go to France to minister for a couple of weeks, and just, you know, I've just been back a couple of weeks now. But at any rate, what a little over a month ago, just a teeny bit over a week before I'm supposed to head to France, I get a phone call from the landlord at the building that we've been in for 2.5 years. Wonderful building. We've had a wonderful time. The landlord loves me, loves us, all that kind of good stuff. But I get this phone call and says, man, we're really sorry to tell you this, but we've sold the building. Not we've rented it out, somebody else will pay more or anything like it. We've sold the entire building. And you've got to be out at the end of the month. And I'm leaving in a week to go to France for 2 weeks, which meant when I got back, I'd have maybe a week to get the church moved if we knew where we were moving to. So we said this prayer, and it went something like this. Help!
Very Christian.
It was God. We need a miracle, and we need it now. We need it fast. I mean, it was just total insanity, but it was a total God setup because in the process, Pat's my next door neighbor. He's my right hand man at church, and he's, you know, so he and I start looking for places, and we looked at quite a number, and nothing was really going to work out real good. Because our budget is like, you know, zero. You know, if we had all the money in the world, it'd be no problem. But we just, this, our budget is kind of like, you know. So we are looking at places, and you know, I'm thinking in the back of my mind, I knew that we wouldn't be out on the street. I knew that. I had no fear that we were just going to have no place to meet and have to meet in my house, because my house is not big enough for all of us. So I knew that we'd have some place. That's where kind of my faith level was that we'll have some place. Now, and I got everybody kind of prepared. You know God has something for us, and, you know, it won't be the end of the world if we don't get to our final destination. If we have to go somewhere temporarily, you know, that's okay. We're, you know, so basically I'm setting the stage for lowered expectations. You know, God has something wonderful for us. However, in the meantime, if we don't get there immediately, you know, so I'm kind of setting the stage for a little bit lowered limitations. But in the process, and God used it, I can see it in retrospect, God used that because we had been in two different buildings that the Girl Scouts owned. One building was a building, very, very nice big building with meeting rooms, but we would have to move in and out every week, I hate that. However, very, very nice meeting room, big meeting room, and there was not another church there now, so we would have had the whole place to ourselves. Last time we were there, there were two churches meeting there on Sundays and Wednesdays. So at any rate, and then the other building is a building that we were in for a year and a half or so, that was just all ours, but they sold that building. So at any rate, my thinking was, well, you know, if we have to go back to the Girl Scout place and move in and out, it won't be the end of the world. So I'm going to just go over there and check it out and refresh my memory on the size of the room, the setup and everything, and see how we can do things. So I just go over unannounced. I didn't make an appointment or anything. I just go over there, and the building was open, and just happened to run into one of the guys that worked there that I'd befriended while I was there. And so I'm looking at the room and everything, and I see him, and we talk for a little bit. He said, you know, they got a camp that they're trying to sell. I wonder if that'd be an idea for you guys. And I'm like, yeah, maybe. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, a camp? Why would we're not interested in a Girl Scout camp. We want a place to have church, you know. So at any rate, the lady who manages their properties just happens coincidentally. I've never seen these two people in the same building at the same time. She just coincidentally happens to be in the building at the same time, and Steve says something about it, and she says, you know, you guys might like it out there. You know, it's an idea for you. I mean, I don't know if we can do it. I'd have to check some things out, because I don't know if they were planning on renting it or not, because it's up for sale. But, and I'm, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, because she said, you know, there's a big fireplace, and you guys might like it. I don't know. So I figure, well, this is a lead, and I, you know, I'm going to check out every lead I get, just even if it's a waste of gas to drive over. So I drive over there, and I get to the property, and I walk in, and it is like, oh my God. It's 112 acres with a lake, with hiking trails, cabins. It's a big, it's now our worship center, big worship center with a kitchen. I mean, it is just ideal. So I get on the phone real quick and I said, Steve, we're interested. So Steve gets with the other lady and she said, well, you know, I'm not actually even in charge of that property anymore, but I'll put you in touch with another lady. So all of these coincidences, you know, supposed coincidences back to back, and the other lady gets a hold of me and she says, oh, I hear you want to look at the place out there. And I'm like, yeah. So she meets Pat and I out there, and we are just like, you know, we're just drooling. We're just like, oh my God. Yes. So she says, well, you know, I've got to check it out. I can't actually do this myself. I have to check it out with someone else. So in the meantime, we move one of the single moms at our church. She's moving into an apartment, and Alec helped. And so I took him and one of my daughters to lunch. That was his pay for, you know. So I take him to the Chinese restaurant, and you know, the place is jam-packed. Of course, after the meal, you get a fortune cookie, right? Well, the place is jam-packed with people everywhere, and And there's three people at our table, and I'm saying all this to say this, the odds of me getting this one fortune cookie are just incredible. So I open my fortune cookie, and you know what it said? This is before I know we're going to get the place. It says, any doubts you may have will disappear early this month. And see,
Zachariah just died.
And see, I had to have an answer before I left for France.
Hallelujah.
I mean,
hallelujah.
I just, yeah. So God speaks through any particular
Amen.
Way.
Amen.
But the point of all, I said all that to say this, is my limitations got totally like kaplooey, because now we are in this incredible place that's 112 acres with a lake, hiking trails, cabins, a big worship center with a kitchen, like a commercial type kitchen.
Wow.
It is just magnificent. And we're paying less than we paid at the last place. And the last place we were in was just scandalous what we paid. I mean, it was just nothing compared to what it should have been. And it's just like, talk about abandoning natural limitations. I kind of learned my lesson, I think. I learned my lesson to the point where we got moved in, and all of us look around at this place, and we are saying, we're going to buy it.
Amen.
Now, as I say that, I also have to say this. We had to, it was just a concrete floor, so we had to do something about carpeting. Well, we didn't even have money really to buy carpet. So when I say we're going to buy the place, it's $1 million. It's $1 million facility. So when I say we're going to buy the place, I'm not saying that knowing that we have any wherewithal to do it other than an absolute miracle.
Amen. Yeah.
But we're going to buy the place.
I'm going to believe that there's going to be someone that's going to come forth and hand you that $1 million.
That's exactly it. Right. That is exactly
all you
it.
Need.
Yeah, one
just
person.
One.
Just
that's
one
right.
person.
Because see, like I've been telling our people, we look around at this and I keep asking them, Do 40 people need this facility? Do 40 people need all? Oh, heavens no. But this isn't for us.
Yeah.
It's not for us because of the setup. Because we can, I mean, just in six of our cabins, we can sleep, each of them sleeps four. That's 24 people in just six of our cabins. We've got a whole slew of them.
Whoa.
And plus we've got like for youth stuff, they're these tents that are on platforms, and then they have a metal roof, canvas walls, and they're set up on platforms. They're like a tent on steroids, you know. and they got beds in them so you can sleep, and mattress, or you know, pads so you can put your sleeping bag. I mean, it's just, I mean.
The Girl Scouts have really neat places.
You're telling me.
Because we go to. Oh, when my granddaughter was alive, we used to go to the one Bonnie Bray,
yeah,
which is up in Russell Blanford area. Incredible. It didn't matter if we had freezing rain. As long as we got up there, we had a great time. I mean, we did cross-country skiing and
but see,
snowshoeing.
The cost
I mean,
of that.
Unbelievable. And it didn't cost us anything because we sold Girl Scout cookies.
Well, that's what I was just going to tell you. It came out of cookies.
Yeah.
Fortune cookies.
Doug Fortune.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Yes, that is good. And the best, you know, when I first pulled up to look at the place, the name of the place is Douglas Long Girl Scout. I mean, it had my name on it.
Just for,
so do you literally rent the whole thing, and nobody else can rent it or nothing?
No, we got a big chain with a lock on the front gate.
Right. Whole facility.
The whole thing.
They don't use it anymore.
They don't use it anymore for anything.
That is just awesome.
Yeah. Now, it's up for sale, but nobody's going to buy it until we buy it.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
But notice now that what's bouncing in my heart is you began to talk about Mary and her trust. Then you switched it over to Zechariah and his doubts.
Yeah.
And the abortion that probably happened to his wife was probably because of his big mouth.
Yeah.
And how our mouth involves our future.
Yeah.
And whether we're aborting what God wants to do.
That's it.
Or
yeah.
Bring it life.
Yeah.
This is a good word.
It's amazing. And then we got, for the youth center, it is a log cabin that was built in the 1920s. And it's a big log cabin. The log cabin's almost as big as this, you know, at least 3/4 of this room here.
Awesome.
For our young people. I mean, it's just amazing. Oh. It is just absolutely amazing. So break limitations. Don't, Mary abandoned her limitations. Totally abandoned. How about this? Go to Luke 1:46-49. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth," get this, "he regarded the low estate, but from henceforth, all generations shall call me
blessed.
For he that is mighty has done to me great things, and holy." She abandoned a small mentality. She abandoned a small mentality. Now, it would be very easy, and see, I just yesterday morning, I talked about resurrection. Because last time I was here for Tabernacles, my brain was in a whole different place. Because about that time, I was looking around at our fellowship, and I was thinking, this is not working. This is just not working. Let's just shut this popsicle down and go back to traveling full time, and, you know, let's do something productive. This just is not working. So that was my frame of mind before I went, because after I was here, then I went to Europe, and I was in Europe for a whole month. The whole month of November I was gone. But right before that, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I was looking at it thinking, I've done weddings, I've never done a funeral, but maybe we're just have a dig a hole for this place, say some nice words, and just bury it and move on. I mean, that's where my mentality was. It was just, but you know what? I left, and it was the worst possible time to leave. Just like this last 2 weeks. Worst possible time for a pastor to be gone when you're moving a church. But at any rate, back in November, worst possible time to leave, because it just seemed like everything was falling apart. I left, was gone for a month, and when I got back, you know what? All the problems, all the problems had been solved. They'd been worked out, and we had people that had started visiting, and, you know, we had new people, and I'm walking in saying, "Why, by the way, I'm the pastor here." You know? Oh, gosh, we've been here for 3 weeks. We didn't know who the pastor was. You know? So I go away, and God, you know, but there was a very small mentality there, because I was looking at this ragtag little bunch of people thinking, this is not working. I've got to be better things to do than this. So at any rate, abandoning that small mentality, and now I am saying, from henceforth, all generations shall call us blessed.
Amen.
From henceforth, they're not going to call us, "Oh, that's that little teeny little struggling church that, you know, can't, you know, 2 steps forward, 3 steps back, you know." No, from henceforth, all generations shall call us blessed, for he that is mighty is doing great things.
Amen.
In us,
amen.
Through us.
Amen.
Now, go to Zechariah 4. Zechariah 4. I know why I didn't get to this last time I was here.
Because you didn't have the living of it.
I didn't have the whole story.
Now you've had it.
Yeah.
Amen.
And see, what we're going to get to, I don't know if it'll happen tonight or tomorrow, is what God's downloaded for us this year, which is basically what I believe, in retrospect, looking back, it is what has thrust us into where we are right now. And it's advancement, it's agreement, alignment, and advancement. And we'll get to those for the time is up. But God is having us live these things out. So Zechariah 4, 9 and 10 says, "The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who has despised the day of small things?" I needed to read this verse last October before I went off to Europe, because I was looking at the day of small things and I was despising it.
Yeah.
I was saying, yeah, this is not working, you know. "Who has despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro throughout the whole earth." And that, I mean, as I'm reading that, the eyes of the Lord running to and fro throughout the whole earth, it just makes me think of, you know, when we prayed, when we got the message that we're going to have to move, we actually did say, the first prayer was, "Help! We need a miracle, we need it fast." But the second prayer was this. So we all gathered together, and we acknowledged that this was no surprise to God.
Amen.
See, He's Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. Pro means ahead of time. So this was no surprise to God. He knew it all ahead of time. And God had already provided a place for us. And so our prayer was, "Father, we know that you have already made provision for us. And right now, we reach into the realm of possibilities. We reach into the spiritual realm. We access that provision that you've given us, and we command the natural realm to release what God has provided to
Amen.
Us. And we command that which is now hidden," because it seemed like every place we were looking was not working. And that was for a purpose, because had we signed a lease on something else,
yeah,
you know, before we were... So we commanded the natural realm to release what God had provided, and that the hidden thing would be revealed. And see, that's exactly what happened just by chance. You know, this supposed coincidence that I just thought, I got a wild hair, you know, maybe I'll run out and take a look at that room. Well, we'd been in the room for, you know, year and a half. I knew what the room looked like.
Yeah, but the Holy Ghost connections were waiting for you.
That was it. See, there was no reason for me to go look at that room. I knew exactly what the room looked like because we'd been meeting.
You got one of those nudges that somebody's always talking about.
Yeah, it's just, I thought, you know, I ought to go look at that room again. You know what the room, you've got pictures of the room. Mm-hmm. You don't, but I did it anyway, and it was for the purpose. Because the eyes of the Lord had already been out there scoping out. You know, while Pat and I were looking at everything else, God was saying, "Listen, I've already got this thing." But, it, you know, that's all part of the process. In other words, see, God had provided, but you don't want to get into the place of spiritual apathy, because knowing it's a finished work and knowing that God has provided, knowing those things can lead us, if we're not careful, it can lead us to a place of spiritual apathy, where we figure, well, God's got it covered, you know, and blah, blah, blah. It's like, you know, we know that God wants to send new people to our church. We know that. But that doesn't mean that we just sit back and say, "Oh, well, God's going to send them." No, the way He sends them is we invite them. You know, because see, we don't want to cross that line of being spiritual couch potatoes, knowing that God has done everything. There's still an activity for us to do. We still got to be involved. That's the issue. There is a balance there, because I know people that are out of balance the other way, and basically they know it's a finished work, and they know that God's, you know, doing it's really the work of God, so they do nothing, and consequently they have no impact on anybody else's life, because they just sit around spiritual couch potato and they don't talk to people. I mean, people still need to get saved. They still need to get filled with the Spirit. I mean, all of those things still need to happen. Even though we preach a finished work, it still has to be apprehended, and it has to be appropriated, you know. So we don't want to lapse into being spiritual couch potatoes. Pat and I were still supposed to go out and look at all of the places.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen. You had to do it.
We had to do it.
Same thing. You could command those people to come in, because you know that God's already provided them.
Yes.
Same principle.
Absolutely.
Command,
yes.
Command
the natural realm to release. And we've already started. I mean, we've only been in the new place for two Sunday services now? No, I guess three, including yesterday. And we're already starting to get visitors. Yeah. In this place that, it's brand new. So abandoning a small mentality, that's what she had to do. Here's next thing I'll touch on is abandoning her expectations of a normal life. Remember when she said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." I mean, it sounds so poetic when we read it, but when you really stop and think about it, for her to be pregnant and unmarried in that culture, there's maybe a teeny bit of a stigma left in our culture, but not much.
Not much, girl.
Not much.
Death was her future.
Yeah. I mean, so for her, basically, for her to say, "Be it done unto me according to your word," she was in essence signing her own death certificate.
Yeah.
Because by all reason, she could have been taken outside of the city and stoned.
Amen.
You know? I mean, that could have easily been her fate. You know, any thought of being socially acceptable, any thought of... And keep in mind, Mary was an Essene. They were the Essene Jews were the spiritual ones. You know, they were the ones I would compare them to probably what we think of ourselves as. You know, we're the spiritual ones. We're not just, you know, going through the motions, in kind of normal, regular church life. We're the ones that are really pressing into God. Well, that's so for Mary to be an Essene and to be pregnant, I mean, I imagine her own were a little skeptical. You know? Yeah, right, an angel. Okay.
That right on.
Yeah. So any expectations of living a normal life, they were out the window. But you know what? I've got to come to the conclusion, I don't want to live a normal life anymore.
Boring.
I just don't want to live a normal life.
Yeah.
I mean, we just live in this miracle realm. And it's, I don't know, it just kind of blows my mind what God is doing. I mean, it's... Because we see things all the time now that years ago we only kind of dreamed about. But I mean, it's just incredible the things that that God is doing just in our midst, in our small group of people. I mean, you can just go through, countless individuals have been just dramatically touched and changed and moved, and you know, I don't want to live a normal life anymore. Go to Luke 1:35. So she abandoned her limitations. She abandoned a small mentality. Abandoned any expectations of a normal life. Luke 1:35. She abandoned her womb. The Amplified Bible says, "Then the angel said to her, 'The Holy Spirit shall come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you like a shining cloud.' And so the holy, pure, sinless thing, offspring, which shall be born of you, will be called the Son of God." Now, each of us have a spiritual womb in which God wants to birth something. All of us have a spiritual womb. Now, the holy thing that she was going to be birthed, or that she was going to birth, was called the Son of God. I mean, that's what the Scripture says. The holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. Now, Jesus, of course, was uniquely the Son of God. You know, the. But, John 1:12-14 says, "As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons."
Sons of God.
Of God. Sons, plural. So, Jesus was uniquely the begotten Son of God. But we are called to be sons, plural. And see, that's the difference between Old Covenant and New Covenant. Many, many things in the Old Covenant were singular. Book of Zechariah, "Behold the man whose name is the branch." Mm-hmm. Singular. Come up into the New Testament. "I'm the vine, you are the branches."
Right.
Plural.
Right.
So here we see that what God began in an individual son, he is now reproducing in a corporate son. Many sons and many daughters. Hebrews tells us he came to bring many sons to glory. And that which God is birthing in us is we are being birthed as sons of God. It says here, "Many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." And that is exactly what God's doing. The Word is being made flesh, and he's dwelling among us. Now, get this word "among" in the verse is en in Greek. It's a primary preposition. Here's what it denotes: a fixed position in place, time, or state. So this word "among," it denotes a fixed position in time, place, or state, and by implication, it means a relation of rest, a relation of rest, or it means in. So if we read the verse literally, it says, "He pitched his tent and encamped in us." He pitched his tent and encamped in us. And see, as the Word is made flesh, as he pitches his tent and he camps in us, we become sons of God. I mean, that's what this holy, this womb. In fact, let's look at this. The angel said, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee." Okay. Now, the literal Bible reads like this: "The angel said to her, 'Spirit Holy will come upon you.'" Spirit Holy. And the reason for that is because when we read Holy Spirit in the Greek, it's Spirit Holy. And the reason that we get the Spirit Holy is because God wants to give us a spirit that's holy. I mean, it's not rocket science. We don't get the Holy Spirit so we can get a goosebump and speak in tongues and, you know, and all that. That, I mean, that's fun and that's good, but we get the reason we get the Holy Spirit is because 1 Corinthians 6:17, he was joined to the Lord, becomes one spirit with him. So the reason for the Holy Spirit is so we have a spirit that's holy.
In French, it's l'esprit saint.
Ah, there we go.
It's reversed.
Yeah, yeah. And see, that's the way it ought to be. Yeah, that's the way it ought to be. So the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. And see, it seems like in especially in charismaticism and all that, there's an emphasis on the individual, the person and manifestation of the Holy Spirit. In other words, we tend to think of the Holy Spirit as a separate entity.
Wrong.
In other words, you know, we pray things like, Holy Spirit, come. And, you know, it's like, well, he came when you came, you know. Or, Holy Spirit, fall on us again. And it's like, well, he did that on the day of Pentecost. And he didn't go anywhere. You know, it's like, we have a tendency to think of him, of the Holy Spirit, separate from us. But we are the primary manifestation where the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit's in us, you know. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit that's holy. And the Spirit holy is right in here because our spirit is holy. Now, you might be thinking in the back of your mind, well, what about all these problems I got, Doug? What about all these issues? Well, your issues are not in your spirit.
No.
Because he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. You ain't got no spiritual problems. You and I have soul problems.
Yeah, right.
The mind, the will, and the emotions. Why? Because we're in this process of the renewing of the mind and the process of sanctification. And the process of sanctification, I'm really coming to realize, is not so much something that he's doing in us. It's coming to understand and to acknowledge and to align with what he has already done.
Amen.
We are sanctified.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, in one respect we're being sanctified, but the only respect that we're being sanctified is the fact that we are acknowledging, agreeing, and aligning with the fact that we are sanctified.
Amen.
So that's the process. It's getting this old brain to act like it should. You know? So, and we, you know, when we think of the Holy Spirit as apart from man, it messes us up, you know. It's like we're directionally challenged, you know. The Holy Spirit shows up when you show up. There's no reason for the Holy Spirit to fall. I mean, if anything, he needs to rise.
Right.
You know? And it's basically the fundamental difference between the old covenant, which is God on the outside, and new covenant, which is God on the inside. But, you know, and I'm even in charismatic circles and those that are apostolic, prophetic, we like even what we would term cutting edge, so much of the thinking and mentality is still God on the outside instead of God on the inside. You know? And this is not the way it is. See, in Greek it is pneuma hagios, or spirit holy. So when we receive the Holy Spirit, we now have a spirit that's holy, because that spirit is basically the breath or the essence of God himself. See, the emphasis is the spirit in us and the spirit as us. Okay? So, the wording, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit holy, shall come upon you. That word, come upon, in the Greek it's eparkomai, and it means to supervene, to arrive, to occur, to impend, to attack. It's from the word epi, which means superimposition, and ercomai. Now, ercomai, it's basically it's used in the present tense and the imperfect tense, and I'll explain what that means because I know it's a little bit of a grammar lesson, but it will make sense. The middle voice describes the subject as participating in the results of the action. Present tense is used to describe an action that has begun in the past, it continues in the present, and then but the emphasis is on the present time. Okay? Now, the imperfect is used to describe an action that is in progress. So it's like the present tense. And I'm saying all that to say this. The superintervening or superimposition of the Spirit of God is what gives us a new spirit, but it is a present tense, and it's present active. It's right now. It's not just something in the past, not just something in the future, but it is something right now. It's in progress. Okay, so Ezekiel 36:26. In other words, this wording eparkoma, it's kind of like it's kind of like the difference between a still photo, which captures a moment, and the second you capture that photo, it's in the past. That's different. This wording eparkoma is like a movie camera that shows something in progress. You see it. So Ezekiel 36:26-27, a new heart also will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you. Now, the reason we need a spirit that's holy is because God wants a holy thing to be birthed. And your spirit is your womb. See, you can't birth a holy thing out of a spirit that isn't holy. I mean, when my wife and I went to the hospital to give birth, we gave birth to human beings. Now, there are times we question it. We did not give birth to monkeys. At times we wondered. But we gave birth according to our kind, according Amen. To our, and see, that's why we have to have a spirit that is holy. The reason we get the Holy, what I'm saying is, the reason we get the Holy Spirit is not so that we get a goosebump and a whoo and a all of that, and all that's good and fine, but it's so we have a spirit that's holy, so God can birth a holy thing.
Amen.
See, it's the difference. We have a tendency to dwell on the symptoms. we like all the symptoms of having the Holy Spirit, but that's not the issue. The issue is God wants to birth something that's holy, so it gives us a spirit that's holy. So she says, or the angel said, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. And see, that's kind of been the emphasis in charismatic Pentecostal. Is, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you.
Right.
And we thought that was the end product, the coming upon. But see, it didn't stop there, because he goes on to say, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And see, we've majored on the coming upon, and we've kind of been oblivious to the overshadowing.
Right.
And the reason for the coming upon was for overshadowing. The coming upon is not an end unto itself. We didn't get the Holy Spirit as an end unto itself. Mm-hmm. See, that's only two-thirds of the equation. We got a spirit that's holy, so God can then birth a holy thing within us. And see, that has to do with this overshadowing. It says, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Now, the word translated as overshadow, it's episkiazo. It means to cast a shade upon, to envelop in a haze of brilliancy, to invest with preternatural influence. So to envelop in a haze of brilliancy, to invest with preternatural influence. I'm not actually sure what the word preternatural means, but it sounds really spiritual and cool. So at any rate, to envelop us, and that overshadowing, I kind of think of it as almost, it's like a spiritual impregnation of sorts. It's kind of like what happened with Moses up on the mountain. You know, remember, Moses is up on the mountain, and God says, I'm going to stick you in a cleft of the rock and make my goodness to pass before you. And that wording there in the Hebrews, it's panim, panim. It means face to face. So it's really speaks of some kind of an intimate. I believe it was an spiritual impregnation of sorts, because when Moses comes down from the mountain, he's what? He's glowing.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, just a little twist your brain a little bit. Remember when after 6 days, that's what the Bible, after 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up into a high mountain apart. Remember the Mount of Transfiguration?
Yep.
Now, this will twist your brain a little bit, but who shows up on the Mount of Transfiguration? Moses shows up on the Mount of Transfiguration, right? And what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration is what? They were overshadowed. Remember that? Now, what if, just what if? Remember, God says, I'm going to stick you, Moses, in a cleft of the rock. Who's the rock?
Jesus.
The rock is Christ Jesus. Now, let me ask you something. Is Christ limited by our time-space continuum?
Mm-mm.
No, Christ is in eternity. He is outside of time. He supersedes all of everything that we think. And where did God stick Moses? He put him in the rock, in a cleft in the rock. He stuck him in Christ. Now, what if when Moses is there on the mountain in Exodus, what is it, 25 or something like that, around there, what if at the moment Moses is on the Mount of Transfiguration and God sticks him in a cleft of the rock, just what if that happens to be, and when he sticks him in the cleft of the rock, he sticks him in Christ who is in eternity, what if that happens to be the same moment which we read of then in the New Testament when all of a sudden Moses shows up on the Mount of Transfiguration, they're overshadowed.
Yeah, it could be a picture of the future that was happening, and he was connecting.
Now this is just, that's going to twist your brain a little bit. What if that's the reason that when Moses comes back down off the mount, because what did he say? He said, Father, show me your
glory.
Your glory.
Yeah.
Well, Hebrews tells us that Jesus Christ is the express image of the Father. Jesus was the express, I mean, he was the glory of the Father. So what if when Moses says, Father, show me your glory, all of a sudden God sticks him in Christ. He shows up in the New Testament on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he goes, whoa. And then when he comes back down off the mount, what do you think of that? Now, I wouldn't necessarily preach it as doctrine. However, I got a strong hunch maybe that might be what happened. God is outside of time. He is not limited by time. He's not limited by space. He's not limited by any of those things.
Then what about Elijah?
Yeah. Elijah showed up too.
He went in there too.
Absolutely. You see, our mentality really needs to shift from a coming upon mentality to an overshadowing mentality. Exodus 33:19. He said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. See, God says He's going to cause his goodness, his nature, to cover over, to impregnate, to overshadow Moses. Okay? To overshadow his face. And the face speaks of the countenance speaks of the nature, the face, the nature of the thing. Then he decrees his name, his bloodline, his mark upon Moses, is it any wonder that and his name is the expression of the name of God is really found in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know? That's his name, his nature. And Jesus expressed the fullness of the nature of God, and God proclaimed that nature upon Moses. See, I just get this idea that Moses just got totally overshadowed there on the Mount of Transfiguration. He comes back down, and he's just like, whoa. But the difference there is, of course, we know that the glory faded with us. The glory doesn't have to fade.
Amen. In John 17, Jesus declares that he has the Father's name that the Father gave him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's...
Yeah. Matthew 17, verse 2 and verse... Or 1 and 2 and then 4. After 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, his brother, brings him up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured, that word metamorpho, transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun. His raiment was as white as light. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles. Peter's not crazy. He's prophesying. Even though he doesn't understand what he's saying, probably, I don't believe he had the revelation of it, but he's prophesying about the Feast of Tabernacles. He's saying, we can dwell in this glory.
Yeah.
We can build a booth because God is the booth. And we can dwell in this place of glory, and it doesn't have to fade. It doesn't have to fade like it did with Moses. So he's basically talking about the Feast of Tabernacles. So that's the overshadowing that we see with Mary. So basically she what? She abandoned her limitations. She abandoned a small mentality. She abandoned expectations of a normal life. She abandoned her womb. And that is exactly what God requires of us.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm done.
Good news.
He wants us to be like Jesus, right?
Amen.